Welcome to the Press and Coverage Podcast. I'm Mason, and after a long and strenuous free agency, my good friend Max has just decided to let the Players Tribune know that he is signing with the Boston Celtics. Max, what's up?
You know, just fulfilling my dream of becoming a real-life masshole.
Yeah? That's
just living the dream in beautiful Boston, Massachusetts. That was a terrible Boston asset. You just got to keep working on that
one. Just pack it down, have it, yeah.
That was, you're a lot better than me, maybe. You signed with the T-Wolves, right?
Oh, no, actually, I don't have any athletic ability at all, so I am currently in the middle of a maelstrom upstairs recording this pod, but, you know, content is content. We've got to get it out. How you doing, bud?
Doing great, you know, just got home from work, hanging out, enjoying a nice evening here in Happy Valley. Did you have a good 4th of July, Mason?
I did. I ate a lot of barbecue, and I saw some fireworks. I got to go to the good old where the Dean and DeLuca Invitational is played, a.k.a. The Colonial Country Club down in Fort Worth, and I got to enjoy a nice fireworks show.
Sounds pretty American to me.
Yeah. You know, I repped the Stars and Stripes socks, you know. Well, what about you?
I didn't do much. Just hung out with my boy John, watched a lot of baseball, you know, just American – the American pastime. Got to watch on the 4th of July and then just sat on top of the parking deck and watch fireworks.
That sounds so Pennsylvania of you. Did you see the Brewers take the Orioles to town?
I did. They took them to Pound Town.
They clipped their wings, yes. Shout out to the O's, though. Manny Machado is very, very nice. So yeah, we're here to talk a little bit about some free agency. Long live the East is dead. Long live the East, Max. Long live the East.
It's always darkest before the dawn, Mason.
That's true. The night is long and full of terrors. So let's just get right into this, okay? So let's just start with our most recent one. So last year on July 4th, Kevin Durant signed with the Golden State Warriors. This July 4th, we learned that Gordon Haywood is reuniting with his boy, Brad Stevens. We haven't seen such a fantastic relationship since they were together at Butler back in 2010. And man, it feels right. It feels so good. I'm so excited for these two. And I just love the story that Brad Stevens was the first to ever scout Gordon Hayward and really give him an offer. So good for them. I'm glad the bromance can continue.
Yeah, I think it was a fantastic move by Boston. I remember being glued to my phone yesterday, and when he was going to Boston, he wasn't going to Boston, and then he was going to Boston. It was very interesting that, I guess, since they know the importance of the moves that have happened previously on this day, they decided to also put a big move down.
You know, I know everyone in the past has joked, oh, the East sucks, and by joked, I mean, like, actually, the East kind of does suck. Now the East is just, well, it's LeBron and everyone else, as it kind of has been, but now it feels more so that way because I feel like there's been an exodus to the West. So, you know, you have no more Jimmy Butler, you have no more Paul Millsap. And so, yes, there is still Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, but, I mean, and I love those two a ton, but they can't really hang with the Celtics or the Cavs anymore. But so now, is the East really just the Celtics and LeBron? You give your thoughts, and then I'll give mine.
Yeah. As for right, I'd say for the next 2 to 3 seasons, yes, that's really all it is. Which, I don't understand why players would make this exodus to the Western Conference, where I guess it's a higher level of competition, and what your accolades will have a little more weight to them, considering what teams you'll be playing against, but the consensus best team in the league, who is way above almost every other team in the league, everyone's moving to go against them, and I think it would be a lot harder, especially come playoff time, to compete with them. So I don't understand why all these teams would want to leave the East, or all these players would want to leave the East, but I think the East does have a lot of up-and-coming teams, like everyone's favorite, the 76ers. But
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I don't know. It's I forgot what stat I was reading, but what, it was only one of the top 30 players in the league is in the East right now, and that was LeBron. That was a few weeks ago, so it's changed a little bit.
It was ESPN. I think it was like ESPN, like preseason top 100 players only. Only one of the top 30 that was LeBron. Do you have anything else to say about it?
No, I just I think for Gordon, especially, this was a big component of his decision that, hey, you could be a top five player in the Eastern Conference just because there's nobody else there.
Exactly.
So I think it was a good move on his part, even though it must have been difficult to leave his the team that where he started everything out. But I think that he made the right call.
Yeah, because he I read a stat. His scoring average has increased every year for the 7 years he's been in the league. But yeah, I also truly believe that without Brad, if Brad Stevens wasn't on the Celtics, that this wouldn't have happened. But also something I think people are forgetting about is I think people are sleeping on the Bucks. I'm very interested to see where the Bucks go because I think that the second best player in the East now is Giannis. Giannis, the unicorn, Antetokounmpo.
Great pronunciation.
Thank you. Also, let's not forget about Kristaps Porzingis, but the Knicks are gonna have a ways to go before they can make any noise. And the East playoffs are gonna be hilarious next year. Like, there's a good chance we see, you know, the bottom three teams all with losing records, and it could be very funny to see a team with a losing record make it to the second round of the playoffs. But yeah, I do think that. There's only really three teams that you can take. Well, I won't count out the Raptors, but I don't think they're good. They can't beat LeBron. So I think the only team, yeah, that LeBron even has to maybe lose 30 minutes of sleep over is the Celtics. And that's just because of how damn good of a coach Brad Stevens is. And now how the scoring ability of Gordon Hayward kind of takes some of that pressure off of Isaiah Thomas and frees up more of the offense. So I'm very interested. Also to see what the Celtics do in the future. They still have 8 first-round draft picks, and I think that they're going to do something with them, either this season before the trade deadline or the next summer. But also, who knows what's going to happen because the Warriors are running the world still. So yeah, that's really it for the East, except for a hilarious story. Phil Jackson got fired from the Knicks, as he rightfully should.
Thank God.
Have. But the most hilarious part about that is that that wasn't even the biggest NBA story of the day. So we'll talk about what was. So now let's pivot into the madhouse that is the Western Conference.
The Wild West.
Yes, exactly. The same day that Phil Jackson got fired, literally hours later, Chris Paul signed. He opted into his deal so he could get traded to the Rockets. So now it will be Chris Paul and the Beard on the same team. Max, how much do you think this helps the Rockets?
So, Mason, I got one question for you.
Yes.
Does Cliff Paul also come in the trade with Chris Paul?
Well, I mean, I feel like they're a package deal. I don't see why not.
Okay, then this is huge deal for the Rockets. I think the point guard, Chris Paul, I think he is going to be a fantastic asset for them. Just another guy to help with ball movement and provide points. I think that to compete in the West, Golden State has 4 top caliber players. And this is just giving another piece for the Rockets to be able to put alongside Harden and potentially compete with Golden State, which who knows if this will make this difference. But I think that when you have Harden at his peak, you have to give him the pieces around him to be able to make him the best player possible. I also have to say, on Chris Paul's part, this was a really classy move by him by re-signing with his former team and saying, hey, I want to help you guys out. You're going to help me out. You're going to send me to a better team that competes. But at the same time, you guys are going to get some pieces in return to help you guys rebuild and start the franchise back up. So I think that was a really classy move by Chris Paul.
Yeah, and I think both teams benefited from the trade. Obviously, the Rockets get Chris Paul, and the Clippers get, like, I believe they got 4 players, including Lou Williams and Sam Decker. And I think they got a pick out of that, too. But here's what I'll say. You know, the Rockets now, they kind of cut their depth a little bit. I think they're going to make some more moves. I don't think they're done making moves yet. But, you know, now that
Paul George is somewhere else, which we'll talk about. I don't know who like they're going to try and get to really compete. Like I love that Daryl Morey, their GM, is, you know, trying to get his team to rise to the challenge to face Golden State, that he's not afraid to, like, hey, you know what? Someone's got to make a push against Golden State. Even if we're, you know, doomed to fail, someone's got to try. You know, even if the White Walkers are coming, you know, the Watchers will be on the wall and they'll make a stand, whatever. Insert Game of Thrones reference here. But, you know, I am happy to see that this is going to be hopefully somewhat of a challenge. Maybe they can steal at least one game from them if they ever meet in the playoffs. But I think this helps the Rockets in the way that they now have two elite point guards on their team. Because we saw last year James Harden can be a very elite point guard. He's such an underrated passer. He's a way better passer than Russell Westbrook is. Not to demean Westbrook, but I'm just saying he is a very good facilitator. He's a better facilitator than the reigning MVP. And so when all the starters are out, Chris Paul can be the point guard and be facilitating and whatnot. And then when he's off the floor, they can, you know, stack the minutes with Harden, and he can run the offense can run through him just like we saw this past year. I am a little afraid that this might not allow Harden to live up to the potential we saw last year, but it could also mean that we get to see him be focused more on scoring than he was this past year. Even though he could get buckets whenever he wanted, he can now focus even more on that instead of also having to worry about facilitating a lot because Chris Paul's there now too. But Max, here's my question for you. Who's guarding Kevin Durant on this team?
I do not know.
Exactly.
Nobody.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's still the problem. But if the Rockets can find a way to seal a game by just raining down a barrage of fire threes, Klay Thompson style, then, you know, maybe that'll work for one or two games. But it's interesting. It's a fun storyline. I don't know how much it'll work out in the actual season because we have to take into account that these are two big egos now on the team as well. And we saw what happened the last time there were two big egos in Houston with Dwight Howard, and that didn't work out so well for Houston, and it kind of cost them a season. So, you know, it'll be fun to watch. I think it'll be a fun team to watch. I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be good. I am more interested just to see how those two players interact with each other on the court.
I think they'll be a great duo together. I think that, especially with what the Warriors have been doing, they've shown that you can't, when compared to teams like Oklahoma City and Houston last year, that you can't just win without one player getting them the ball all the time. They're eventually going to run out the gas. You need the depth of all-star players to be able to win this league, especially with what Golden State has already. So I think this is just a step in the right direction. And even though we might not see the freakish performances from Harden this coming year, I think the overall effect on the team will be greater than the sum of the parts.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm going to stick with they need more depth. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do next season for sure. So now moving on, in a really interesting fashion, in a place that I did not think was going to happen, I think a majority of people did not think was going to happen, the Paul George sweepstakes have come to an end. He will not be moving to Los Angeles, but he will be moving a lot closer to L.A. than where he was. Paul George got traded to the Thunder for Sabonis and Victor Oladipo. That's it. Max, the Pacers got fleeced.
Yeah,
they got fleeced like crazy.
They should be calling the cops because they got robbed.
Yes. I honestly don't know which trade was worse, the Jimmy Butler trade or the Paul George trade. I think I might still go with the Jimmy Butler trade because they only got Chris Dunn, who's an unproven rookie who actually played pretty poorly, a guy who just came off an ACL tear in Zach LaVine, and they even gave up the seventh pick, and then they still gave Minnesota the 16th pick. So I might still think that's the worst one, but dadgum Pacers, like, what the hell?
I guess the thought is let's just get something out of this instead of having him for one more year and then watching him leave. But at the same time, we get to think, where was Boston at this? Everyone was saying, oh, he's going to go to Boston.
Exactly.
He's going to go to Boston. They definitely have the assets, which is what everyone's been saying, to be able to get Paul George. Did they not like the package that they were giving him? Were they just impatient and this is the first thing that came onto the table in front of them? I think both the Celtics and the Pacers are losers here because, one, the Pacers did not get enough for a all-star caliber player. And if this is all that Boston had to pay in terms of value to be able to get a player who would be a huge difference maker on their team, they definitely missed out. What the story behind that is, we probably will never know, but I think that both of those teams did not make the most of their opportunities.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and I don't know if again, like I said, like if Boston's just trying to go after Anthony Davis next year or something. I'm sure they would have traded for Paul George. Did they just wait till the trigger? I mean, but also at the same time, do you think the Pacers just didn't want to have Paul George in the East anymore? I'm not sure. I guess that would be like my leading one, because they had to have gotten better deals for a top 12, top 10 player in the NBA.
It's not even a money deal either, because Oladipo has a pretty sizable contract himself.
Yeah, I guess if they see a long-term asset like Oladipo, like they think he's going to be like a franchise guard or something, then maybe, it's just so weird to me, man. I expected more, and it was kind of like a firework that, you know, kind of sizzles to a dud. Like, yeah, I'm super excited for OKC because it's going to be Russ and Paul George, and I said that Russ's team's not going to be able to be a contender unless he gets a guy that's, you know, the same level as KD, and while he is not as good as KD, he is relatively close to being as good as Kevin Durant, and he plays defense just as good. So, if not better than KD, even though I think KD really stepped up in his defensive level this past year. But yeah, it'll be fun for the Thunder. It'll be a fun, athletic, superstar duo to watch. And so, anyways, I was saying, like, it's like watching a firework kind of come to a dud, is what I kind of thought. Like, I wanted to see a blockbuster trade, and it didn't happen. So I guess let me ask you, do you think the Thunder are done making moves?
I don't know. This is definitely going to be their big splash the offseason. But I don't know. Based on how they performed last year, I think they need more around Russ to be able to be a true contender. Because as we saw in the playoffs, he just ran out of gas because it was him by himself. He was running that team, and it just didn't. It was great during the regular season, but in the playoffs, it just didn't work.
Yeah, and I mean, history has proven that you can't win at an NBA. You can't win the finals. You can't even win in the playoffs if you're just a one-man show. And it'll be very interesting to see those two egos, because I've said this before. Russell Westbrook, I think, is one of the most fun individual players to watch. But as a teammate, it's one of the most frustrating, because he does not, you know, pass the ball that often, even though he got a triple-double last year. He does not facilitate as much as he should, because if he facilitated more, I think he'd be even more fun to watch, because he does so much for an offense, and he can do even more if he just passed more, if he just became a better facilitator. But, you know, that is just my opinion. So, yeah, it'll be fun to watch the Thunder this year. Let's see what happens. Hopefully they make some noise. I'd love to see Paul George and Russ go against the Warriors in a 7-game series. So now moving on to another player that has migrated from the East to the West. Paul Millsap signed with the Denver Nuggets, and apparently the Hawks didn't even offer him a deal, which shocked me.
Yeah, especially for how solid he was for them this past season. You can even say more than solid. He was an all-star. He had his best seasons in Atlanta. I just think that the Hawks are just going full rebuild. They don't want any sort of money assets on their team, and I think that they just let him go.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just so weird, because, you know, he's been there for like the past 4 years, but he's kind of been like the franchise guy. Like, you know, once Al Horford left, you know, like, oh, Paul Millsap, you know, he can kind of be the guy. So I'm kind of surprised that they kind of just let him go. You know, at least you gotta at least make an offer of something. I mean, yes, I know you're going youth movement, but come on, like he's a fan favorite. You gotta do something, and that was really shocking to me. But yeah, this I was very excited to hear this. This is where I wanted him to go, though, because now you're going to have Paul Millsap with the Joker, who is for real. And they had a fun young team last year that was kind of, you know, everyone was thinking, me included, thinking that it was going to be Minnesota that makes the strides last year. But it was really Denver. Denver was the team that was like, hey, you know, watch out for us in the coming years. We're going to be kind of like we're on the rise, you know. And so if I were you, Max, I'd start buying that the Nugget stock right now.
Go Nugs, because, Nug Nation.
Yeah. because they're going to be really fun to watch really soon. And I think they need a couple more pieces. But I'm really excited to watch what this team can do. I don't think they're going to do much, like, in terms of the playoffs, but it's still so much fun to watch a team pull itself out of the ashes and be reborn. So, Minnesota's not the only team in the West that's on the rise.
I was just surprised he went there. Like, they gave him the best offer, but you think other teams would have been, who are more in contention, would have been interested in this, in how talented this player is.
Yeah, the problem is, though, is that he is 32 years old.
True.
So that is kind of like the thing that I think people are kind of afraid of. But he's still producing, so, you know, there is that. Also, you know who I also think is going to go to Denver this season before the trade deadline?
Who's that?
Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade.
Because before he signed with the Bulls, the Nuggets were one of the three teams that he had in his free agent meeting. It was the Nuggets. And so I think they're going to do a sign and trade with D-Wade. So it'll be very interesting to see what the Nuggets are able to do. It's kind of like a weird team, Nick, now. Like, Joker's, I think, the best player on that team, but Millsap's going to be a good tandem with them. So it's exciting to see a young team rise. So now, moving on. Max, I'll let you announce this one. I know this is your favorite nickname in the NBA for a player.
So the Minnesota T-Wolves, T-Wolf Nation, T-Wolves! Signed one of the GOATs of all time. The Tiguana, Jeff Teague.
Yeah, so Jeff Teague is now officially a Minnesota Timberwolf, along with former Tom Thibodeau player Taj Gibson, knows how to set the tone defensively, and is a great leader in the locker room. Max, are the Wolves winning the next 70 finals? Talk me out of it.
Minimum. At least 70, 69 on if they have one bad year. But
yeah, of course.
I'm saying at least till 21-20.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a good call. You know, I wholeheartedly agree. Watch out, Golden State. There is a new dynasty in basketball. But seriously though, I think this is a very interesting move because Teague's gonna take some shots away from Andrew Wiggins, most likely. You know, but Taj at the same time is gonna make things easier for Wiggins defensively because he's not gonna have to guard the best wing player now. I was really disappointed with Wiggins' defense last year because I thought he was going to be able to become a good defensive player, but he really took a step back last year in my eyes. So I'm hoping that Tibbs is going to roll up his waistband around his tracksuit and really just get down to coaching them because he's one of the best defensive coaches, if not the best defensive coach in the league. And so I want him to just make Towns that defensive anchor that he can be. I really want to see them kind of become like this, the kind of get them to become the young version of the Grizzlies, the fun young version of the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are fun to watch, in my opinion, but like the younger version of them that can shoot threes. So, you know, watch out for the Wolves defensively next year to make a huge step forward now with Gibson and with Butler, because now they're kind of in this win now mode, which I think is good and bad. Yes, it'll be good to make the playoffs for the first time in, you know, however long. It's the longest drought in of all active teams. But we've seen what trying to win now can do to you and how it can set you back in the long term from actually finding success. So, I like the moves, but I'm also kind of cautious of the future.
I don't know. Max, what about you? I'm 100% okay with it. They are a team that is now not sitting back saying, we're not going to do the process and just sit here and stockpile high picks and hope that we just hit every single time. We're going to go out, make moves for players that we want on our team, at the same time having fantastic drafts, but going out in free agency, which is the purpose of free agency, is to make your teams better and attempting to become a competitor right here, right now. I think that you can only play for the present. Yes, you can plan for the future, but if you have this opportunity to put a product, because that's what sports are a product of entertainment, out on the floor yep. for your fans, for the other guys on the team, for your city, I think that you have to do that, and that is what the Timberwolves are doing right now.
Yeah, from an entertainment, I absolutely agree with you from an entertainment perspective for sure. Just the thing is, they're not really adding guys that can shoot, like that are elite three-point shooters, which is what they need. Like, I would have loved for J.J. Redick to go to the Wolves. We'll talk about him in a little bit, just because he's such an elite three-point shooter, but they didn't get him. So that's kind of what I'm talking about. They're going to be like big bruisers now, because here's the thing. Towns is like the modern day big man. He has the potential to be the defensive guy, but he can just knock down threes. He might be the best 3-point shooter on that team. But he's also, dominant in the post. So there's that as well. So I'm just hoping that this isn't going to hurt Towns's 3-point ability, but I think Tibbs is going to run him more in the post. Which, he gets buckets there as well. So we'll see what happens with the Wolves. So trust me, because this is the, other than being the official podcast of the country of Kenya, this is the official T-Wolves fan club podcast.
Oh, yeah. So the reason behind that reference is for some reason we have a good half of our listeners come from Kenya. So shout out to everyone out there. We appreciate it, guys, whoever y'all are.
Thank you, Kenya. In a hilarious, hilarious moment, Dwight Howard got traded to the Hornets earlier, and he tweeted, who do you think should get traded? And remember, be nice. And then not 5 minutes later, he gets traded from the Hawks to the Hornets. Life comes at you fast, Max. Life comes at you fast. I'm kind of excited. Okay, it's really weird to say. I'm interested to see Dwight Howard and Kemba Walker play in the pick and roll for at least one season. And of course, if all else fails, Malik Monk is going to catch fire and save the day. So I'm still mad the Mavs didn't draft him, but I can't be mad because they got Dennis Smith, who's a good fit. But oh, man. Oh, I would have.
Dwight is just. I don't even know what to say about Dwight anymore. He has so much freaking potential. He just is a lazy bum and a dick. But.
He's. On the court, because I'm not going to try to make a claim for him off the court, but yeah, I mean, he's arguably the most hated superstar in the NBA. I don't want to say ever, but he's in the top three easily. And yeah, just his work ethic when he's not the guy is just super, leaves a lot to be desired. He said he's going to be shooting threes all this summer, so we'll see if he can do that. I mean, he needs to realize that the best version of Dwight isn't getting 20 points, it's getting 20 rebounds and blocking shots.
Mason, do you know that he hit a 0 3-point field goal percentage this season?
Wow. Is that bad?
It's not good.
Okay.
But it's something.
So what you're saying is there's nowhere to go but up.
Exactly. You zero minus zero is still zero. So you add anything there, it's above zero. It's simple arithmetic, Mason. Come on.
That's true. So now that's kind of like all like the big things that happen in free agency. Now let's move on to some other notable free agent signings. We're kind of just going to go down the list. So the Sacramento Kings seem to be, trying to turn a lifeless corpse into Frankenstein by adding some interesting pieces. Zach Randolph, a.k.a. Z-Bo, has signed a 2-year deal with the Kings. He's going to be reunited with Coach Jaeger, which breaks my heart. Breaks my heart so much because I loved Zach Randolph in Memphis, and Memphis loved Zach Randolph. And one time I got to go to the game, I got to sit courtside with one of my friends, and Humble Rag, and he came up to us and he talked to us for a little bit. And he gets like this reputation of being like a bruiser, but man, he's a big teddy bear. He's such a good guy, and he really cared about that city, and I'm sure he still does. Hopefully he comes back and plays maybe one final year in Memphis. I know he's getting up there in age, but honestly, I don't know if anyone, other than maybe Tony Allen, really fit Memphis like a glove other than Zach Randolph.
I think that was a great move on the behalf of Sacramento. Just get a good veteran guy. Since they are having this youth movement, to bring him and serve as a mentor, somebody they can look up to and help them build towards the future. He may not be instrumental in their current success in terms of launching them into a potential playoff position, but if he can really influence those young guys they brought in the draft, I think that he could definitely play a big part in their future going forward.
That's true, yeah. And I agree with you. They also signed veteran Grant Hill. They paid him a lot of money, which I like the Zebo move better than I like this one, but I understand the need of adding a veteran that you know can contribute. They're not making the playoffs next year. They're going to make the team at least kind of fun to watch. I might watch some Kings games on League Pass just because of De'Aaron Fox, just because I love the guy so much. So now moving on to Dub Nation, arguably the most important free agent signing of not just this summer, but of the decade. Swaggy P signs with the Golden State Warriors for 1 year, and he immediately got roasted by Kevin Durant on Twitter, who tweeted the picture of him celebrating his infamous missed three-point shot.
I don't freaking care. Swaggy P is the greatest player of this generation, and I am the biggest Warriors fan. Now, I cannot wait to buy my Nick Young Swaggy P with parentheses Dubs jersey as he leads him to an NBA championship. He's going to be the sixth man of the year, maybe maybe MVP. So bow down, Nick Young, going to have a ring. So get fucking hyped.
I have third degree burns from all those takes about Nick Young. Goodness gracious, Max. Goodness gracious. I love that you said he's going to lead them to the title when they have former MVP Kevin Durant and current finals MVP, two-time MVP Steph Curry, and defensive player of the year Draymond Green in their lineup. But yeah, you know, you're
Child's
right.
Play.
Swaggy P is going to lead them to the promised land.
Have you heard some of his nicknames? He has some great nicknames. Not just Swaggy P, but Bean Burrito, The City, and Uncle P, Nick Young.
Oh my gosh, Max. But yeah, you know, I mean, now the Warriors are even more likable for all those that love Swaggy P, which should be everybody because Swaggy P is great.
Only downside, why'd you cheat on Iggy Azalea?
That's true. Why did he cheat on Iggy Azalea? And honestly, none of us would have known about it if it wasn't for three Angelo Russell.
Yeah, Russell, why you gotta do that to your bro, man? Come on.
So also, they got super underrated guy. The Warriors also signed Omri Caspi. He's gonna be a good role player for them along with Nick Young. They kind of just replace their older veterans. They kind of replace Matt Barnes with some younger talent. That's also very efficient. So, yeah, again, it's your weekly reminder that the Warriors run the world.
Mason,
and the last free agent.
Sorry to cut you off. Does this make the – they already had a fantastic bench. Does this now make the Dubs have the best bench in the NBA?
No. I don't think so. Well – it's so tough because I always immediately want to say San Antonio because everyone just works so well in San Antonio's system, but and also because Manu Ginobili is on there. Well, he might be retired now, but I don't know. It's a good question. Who has the best bench? It's probably still I would have said at the end of last year it was Houston, but I don't know, Max. That's a good question. Because I don't think the Warriors' bench was that deep last year. But because they have, you know, four amazing players in their starting lineup, they don't need a great bench. Sure, I guess for now I'll maybe give the nod to Golden State. I'm not really sure. I'll have to come back to you on that one, though. It'd probably be the Celtics. Either them or the Celtics is what I would guess, just because the Celtics have so much variety coming off the bench. And our last free agent that we want to talk about, Max, for your second favorite team, well, I assume your second favorite team, officially putting trust in the process, as you like to call him, JJ Chronicles of Rick. Max, tell me all about how JJ is trusting the process these days.
Well, you see, he's taken a deal to become the veteran presence on the 76ers. I think just as how I was talking about with the Kings, he's going to be a guy to come in there and be a mentor for those younger guys, and he will help them right now. Is he going to be the difference maker to, well, they already said they're going to be a playoff team, so they're going to be a playoff team. But is he going to be the difference maker to lead them to an NBA title? No, but I think that he is going to help with the development of those younger talents on that team, and at the same time, giving them an asset now to continue to put a product on the floor.
Yeah, and so here's what I'll say. The Sixers are not going to be a good team next year, at least I don't think. I think they're going to be okay because, you know, they still have some young players. If Joel Embiid is healthy for 82 games, they will make the playoffs. I firmly believe that. And yeah, JJ's a guy that can knock down threes. He's a underrated defender. I think he's a good defender. And because when he came into the league, he was not. But he worked really hard at it, and he became a good defender. And so it'll be interesting to see what they do. I think, obviously, with, you know, a lot of the talent leaving the East, playoff spots are going to open up. And so, like I said before, we could easily see three teams with losing records in the playoffs in the East. So, and I expect one of those teams, maybe not have a losing record, but I do expect them to make the playoffs now, not just because of JJ, but because they have that fun young core that if they can grow into their potential, they're going to be good for a long, long time. So watch out for the Sixers to take that next step next year. And it'll be fun to see them finally take the next step in the process, Max. I know you're just excited as I am, if not more, to see the city of Philly, the city of brotherly love, embrace the baby Sixers.
I just want them to not suck anymore.
I mean, but that's part of what made them so likable, is that Sam, he just, like, you know, he said, all right, guys, listen, we're going to suck, but embrace the suck. It's part of the process. And so we were just gifted this NBA meme of trusting the process. And so, you know, it's so good to see the process really just not only be embraced by the city of Philly, but everyone just embracing Hinkie and just all the grief, some of the graffiti around the city of Philly that says Hinkie died for our sins is one of the greatest stories I've ever seen, of just the electrician who would write it inside the electric boxes or the power boxes in people in certain schools is hilarious. Just look it up if you haven't heard of that yet. But yeah, Max, is there anything else in the NBA that you wanted to talk about?
I just want to say that I think that the NBA has the most exciting offseason when compared to the major sports. That
absolutely.
I was glued to my phone yesterday trying to figure out what was going to happen with the Gordon Hayward situation. I think that the amount of moves that happened and the amount of big signings, especially with the raising of the salary cap recently, I think that it's definitely been a fun ride with the draft, with all these signings, and I'm looking forward to more.
Yeah, I mean, the NBA has done what no other sport really – I won't say no other sport because soccer is kind of similar, but it has done something that the NFL has always wanted to do, and it's become a 10-month sport. I mean, now we have summer league to look at, to watch, and then we have preseason. And there's only really 1 or 2 months off of basketball, where basketball takes a back seat, really. And during those months, it's peak football season, so nobody really notices it. And then next thing you know, oh, hey, it's October. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. Like, you know, I don't think we're done yet. I think there's going to be, like, one more ripple, one more big thing that happens that nobody really sees coming. But I don't know what it is, and that's what makes it so dang fun.
Exactly. Because
people are trading left and right. People are wheeling and dealing. Danny Ainge is more kind of just sitting on his assets like a mother hen. The NBA is better when the Celtics and the Lakers and the Knicks, you know, all those big market teams are good, just because a lot more people tune in. And it's, like I said, it's like the MLB is better when the Yankees are good. The NFL is better when the Cowboys are good. And the NBA is better when the Lakers and Celtics are good. So, looking at you, Lakers, it's your turn next to start making moves. So, you made the right one by drafting Lonzo, so now let's see what happens next. Thank you all for listening. Be sure to check out PressingCoverage.com. Be sure to follow me and Max on Twitter. Max is at Maximus Wiener. I am at Mason_B. And be sure to follow us, our Pressing Coverage account, at Pressing Cover on Twitter. Peace out, y'all.
Yep, thank you guys for listening. We'll catch y'all next time. T-Wolves!